any time in my life now, I'd be older than him. Which is a sort of an odd thing. At least, because most of my life I've been, you know, Christ was this adult figure. And now he's becoming this figure of a young man. So there's the verse about Melchizedek, verse 4. And I have nothing more to say about the psalm. I just wanted to cover it. But Christ quoted that psalm in reference to himself, in reference to Messiah. And Paul also here gives a witness in reference to him. A lot of people understand that was a psalm of David. David was a prophet. David prophesied in the Psalms many times. He would be considered one of the former prophets. He was the king and prophet, though he's not usually credited as such in his own time. But many of the prophecies concerning Christ were uttered by David in the Psalms. It's a beautiful thing. Because he knew of his son who would come after him, from whom God would never take away his favor. Verse 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, and by the which we draw nigh unto God. And here's an interesting thing. You know, again, to me, disannulling of the commandment. The previous commandment. Now, some people would say, well, that just means the commandment of the priests. I'll tell you, it's all the commandments, because none of the commandments were profitable. And the commandments were weak. Thou shalt not kill is very weak. It cannot make me not want to kill. It does not do anything for my heart. And the commandments of God have always been weak. When God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was a very weak commandment. Commandments are weak. If God really wanted to stop them from eating that tree, he could have removed it from their presence. He could have not created it in the first place. But obviously he wanted that to be. And these are all things that he wants us to experience and know. Obviously, this is part of his will. But the commandments are weak. They're weak through the infirmity of our flesh. They're weak because we were created with desires. The commandment, thou shalt not eat, was weak because Eve looked at the tree. And it looked good. It looked pleasant to the eye. It looked like it was good for food. It looked, what a thing to desire, to be made wise. I tell you, and then have someone come along and say, oh no, you won't die. You'll be like God. Many people who have taken on themselves to kill think the same thing. I won't die. I'm like God. I kill. They cannot make alive. But they can grant mercy and death, and they feel like gods. But they're just fools. The commandments of God are weak in that respect. People know they shouldn't do things, but they do them all the time anyways. So the law and the Ten Commandments are weak. The priesthood was weak. The sacrifice was weak. All that stuff was weakness. It was not strong enough to overcome the weakness of... The weak commandments were not strong enough to overcome the strength of sin. The influence that sin has over people and the deceitfulness that sin has over people. You know, David knew he shouldn't commit adultery. But something stronger than the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, came at him. And that was lust. Lust is stronger than thou shalt not. And it certainly is. It is stronger. That's what the new priesthood is about. The priesthood of Christ gives us power over sin. It gives us the victory. He was offered once and now enters and makes intercession to God on our behalf. And brings us better things than commandments. He gives us power to become the sons of God. Power to live everlasting. And what does it take to do that? The power to escape the former lust. The power to change your life. It wasn't unprofitable. There's no profit. I don't want to beat it to death, but, you know, 2 Corinthians 3, I did a study, and this chapter goes very well with it. You can't eliminate part of the law and keep the rest of it when Jesus said, till all be fulfilled. You can't take away, you know what that means? You can't take away, Jesus said, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come but to fulfill. You know, whoever will break these commandments and teach me, so I will. He will be least in the kingdom of heaven, right? And then he said, not one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law. Or one jot, one tittle. I didn't mean to make a double negative. Nothing will pass from the law. Not one little thing until all is fulfilled. That means if you take away one little part of the law, you have to say all of it is fulfilled. You know what I'm saying? You can't take away even the least jot and tittle. Probably refers to insignificant little pieces of information. You know, one little crossing the I and dotting the, crossing the T and dotting the I. You know, to be, that's not what it means, but we'll just use that as an example. We don't uncross a T, we dot every I. That's how we say it in English, right? All your I's dotted, T's crossed. We want nothing, not one little insignificant piece of information is to be removed from the law until it is all fulfilled. And what happens then? Well, he didn't say. But according to Paul, there's a disannulling of the commandment. A disannulling of the commandment? Yes, in that it is unprofitable and weak. You can't take away a little part of it unless it's all fulfilled. Therefore, it is all fulfilled. If Paul took away a jot of the law, let's say the priesthood of Aaron, if that's taken away, then it's all fulfilled. And since it's all fulfilled, it is open game. It's all done away. I tell you, that's what it says. But what Jesus said still holds true. You cannot break the commandments. You understand that it's the end of the law for righteousness. But the commandments of God, like thou shalt not kill, or